Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Welcome back, Adam. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Terribly well, thank you. How are you doing?
Excellently. Thank goodness for now. I'm curious about, because we're going to be talking about this with one of our doctors in our Institute for Communicable Diseases. I'm worried about the people who aren't feeling well in China.
Yeah, they seem to have stumbled across a new virus, and that's the problem. Anything new that's viral can be a problem. And this is killing people, and the number of cases has tripled over the past 3 days. It was discovered in Wuhan only a month or two ago, basically. It's a form of coronavirus. It causes respiratory illness. In other words, it's a kind of viral pneumonia.
Mm.
It began in Wuhan, as I say, but it's now spread to Beijing, Shanghai, and Shenzhen. But also, there have been cases reported in Japan, Thailand, and South Korea. This is not just a provincial Chinese issue, therefore. And what we know so far is that about 220 people have suffered from this particular illness. Four people have now died. There was a fourth death overnight. And another nine people are in a critical condition. And frankly, they don't have terribly many details. They're clearly trying to work it out, except that they have worked out it can be contaged from person to person.
Right.
And ahead of Chinese New Year, which it will be at the weekend, excuse me, it means a lot of people on the move, on holiday in China, and it's more likely to spread. And, of course, people instantly remember the SARS virus, which was similar and killed 800 people. The deal with the SARS virus was China hid its head under a pillow and pretended it wasn't happening. In this case, they seem to have absolutely tried to nail it before it can. The question is, though, how viral is this virus?
Quite right, especially as it's now headed toward Beijing as congestion or condensed, English, many people go. Sorry. So we'll be chatting to this expert from the center. She's the center head for the respiratory diseases and meningitis a little bit later at 20 past eight for those listeners who are concerned by this as well. Another incident that was very concerning, in fact, frustrating, in fact, infuriating. Let's talk about this rally that happened in Virginia.
Yeah, I suppose let's start with the good news, is that a large gathering of people, and there appear to have been no problems, no violence, no injuries, and the police, from what I can tell, didn't have to wade in. That's the good news. The bad news is that still, this was thousands of people, many of whom looked like they were looking for a fight, frankly. Some of whom were absolutely filled to the gunnels with weapons, assault rifles and pistols and sniper rifles. I mean, you name it. And obviously, a lot of them also wearing camouflage gear, because this was a rally that attracted gun rights supporters in Richmond, Virginia. Virginia, the long association, of course, has been one of the older states, et cetera, and that Second Amendment about the right to bear arms. But security was tight. They didn't take it, and there weren't, as far as I can tell, there weren't too many anti-gun rights rallies, campaigners. They may have just thought, no, we'll leave this one alone and do their thing another time.
I mean,
but it still remains this extremely emotive issue about the right to bear arms and the right, frankly, to protest wearing them.
I'm not so sure it was about the rights. In Virginia, it's one, as you rightly say, it's one of those old states. I don't think that that Second Amendment right is really at risk. They also took, they went, obviously Virginia and Washington DC are right next to each other. And they surrounded the Capitol, as you say, in fatigues. No anti-gun rally, no anti-gun activist is going to risk being in the presence of those rifles. And it was interesting that this was the one protest in the United States that they didn't actually deploy cops, even though normally when you have, say, you know, peaceful rallies, say for Black Lives Matter, it's surrounded by riot police.
I suppose given the number of people who were there, 50,000 I think is one of the organizers' estimates. But I suppose the other thing is the footnote to this, and why there's a little bit of a sigh of relief, which is that on the one hand, isn't it ridiculous that there are people? You're right. I don't think the Second Amendment's at risk either.
Mm-mm.
If it ever was at risk, it probably should have been at risk when Obama first came
right.
in, but that didn't happen. But it's the fact that previously, when there was a white nationalist rally, which became associated with the gun lobby as well,
that's right.
there was a neo-Nazi drove his car and killed a woman and injured several other people in Charlottesville, which isn't terribly far from Richmond. Again, it's a city in Virginia.
That's right.
So people would have been very much on the edge of their seat about what could happen. And
it felt like an intimidation on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah, well, yes. There's no coincidence there, is there?
No.
Yes, that's just absolutely deliberate. A battle for the soul of America is what I saw on one article, and that still seems to be the case. The whole gun debate, it rears its head, they get a mass shooting, it ducks down again. But this kind of thing, actually, I suppose, is a more reasoned approach to it because we didn't have the violence.
Fair point. And the chanting and the tiki torches. Extremist controversy. What's happening in the UK?
I suppose it's rather fun if you're not directly involved in it. But yeah, what we have is a bit of an oopsie daisy from Scotland Yard. The specialist counter-terrorism experts at the Metropolitan Police in London, to give them the more formal title. Anyway, they've basically come up with a new counter-extremism guide. This guide is sent to universities and schools and hospitals and immigration centres and embassies and etc. Anyway, in the guide, they list extremist groups, and there are, for instance, Islamic State, the Ku Klux Klan, and Greenpeace and Extinction Rebellion, who have formally protested about being listed as extremist groups. I mean, there have been one or two slightly hardline things they've done, but you know what? To find yourself somewhere around about Al Qaeda territory is a bit tough, isn't
it? It's a little bit of a stretch.
But there's also a bit of a diplomatic incident from this guide as well. The Ukrainian embassy has demanded an apology because in the guide about counter-extremism is Ukraine's coat of arms next to the Nazi swastika as a symbol associated with white supremacy and neo-Nazis. And yes, it's true, the Ukrainian trident has sometimes been hijacked by hardline nutters. But frankly, whose flag or symbol hasn't been hijacked by, I mean, certainly the Union Jack has in the UK, the British National Party, and worse, have tried to use it as a symbol to, you know, stop immigrants, etc. So the fact is that the trident is in there has certainly got up the nose of the Ukrainian ambassador, who's basically saying, we want it removed, we want an official apology.
Indeed. Well, interesting there. Looking out for Greenpeace for sure as well. Adam Gilchrist, we'll catch up with you tomorrow on The World View. Thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
All righty.